Welcome to Piercing the Veil on BBSRadio.com with your hosts Jordan and Corey and new guests appearing weekly. During the show, Jordan and Corey will pierce the many veils of illusion to reveal the universal truths and tools for negotiation inherent to success in one's daily life, including but not limited to 1. Multidimensional wordsmithing. 2. Mastering and commanding negotiations. 3. Constructive trust and wealth preservation. And 4. Spirituality. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
Okay, welcome back to a live episode of Piercing the Veil. This is Jordan Michael Askew, your host. Corey, our co-host, will not be here this week. Also, our guest is having some issues with his Skype, so today is sort of going to be an exercise in why you should always be prepared for the unexpected, which I am, and so I will just go ahead and carry the show as long as I can. Hopefully, listeners, if you saw the Facebook shout-out that I put on today, you will get a chance to hear Ryan Taylor, who is our special guest. He's been drumming since he was 4 and is really tied into the whole music scene and has a very unique understanding of vibration and how it affects the body. Being somebody that's been around vibration that he's been causing himself, i.e. drumming, for over, 30 plus years. So that's who we hope to get on. I apologize for the lack of a guest, but I will just get right into it. Our topic today is going to be tribal roots. I really want to get back into the origins of the human race. And that's a hotly contested issue. I still maintain, as well as with other theories, that the origins of the human race is a hybrid event. What I mean by that is basically that there was a natural evolutionary process that took place. And then somewhere along that evolutionary process, there was interference or overt genetic manipulation from various different factions and groups of entities that are both physical and non-physical. That is a theory that I've maintained, which is supported by tons of archaeological and anecdotal evidence as well. So essentially, I believe that in our evolution, and again, the hybrid nature of that is what we just went into, but in our evolution, music has accompanied us throughout the whole journey. And music was always there before any of us were really incarnated in this physical zone here. The music was a part of our soul. It's a part of the universe. And the universe is alive with the sound of music. I will tell you that for sure. So tribes, tribal roots, tribal governance, tribal traditions and culture, what is that really all about? Well, essentially, it's about community. It's about trust. Mutual respect, and of course, sound. Sound plays a really big role in these tribal communities, whether it's just by their spoken or oral traditions that are passed down from person to person and recreated through sound over hundreds of thousands of years, or whether it's by traditions that name a person based on their energy, or the sound of their name is meant to represent what they show up as to the rest of their tribe. These are things that show us that sound and drumming and vibration and music has been incorporated into the very roots of our civilization, if you will. And of course, that's highly contested as well, that there's only been one civilization. I would maintain that there's been a number of highly evolved civilizations in succession on this planet, and that either through intergalactic war, planetary war, cataclysmic events that were either engineered or not, but by through those things, by on and through, there were some falls of highly ordered societies, which left remnants for the people to pick up and relearn. And so the tribal archetype, if you will, is sort of the beginning point of where to pick up or pick off when a highly evolved situation has fallen for whatever reason. Again, whether that's natural or on purpose. And so what you have here, really, if you look at the long-term thing, is at the beginning of the spectrum, you have tribal governance, community values, trust, mutual respect. Everybody is afforded a position in the community directly based on their skills and achievements, not based on lies, deception, false social proofs, things that we have in today's society. And essentially, when a society gets to the end point of its progression, or what you would call that society's final days, if you will, whether that is they learn how to ascend into a new body and they're not in the physical realm anymore, or they completely, totally destroy themselves, or another race destroys that society, whatever the case may be, what we see consistently, and at least in my theories, is that at the beginning of this civilization, you have the tribal governance, tribal roots, which is the nature of our show today. And then at the end of the civilization, you have this tribal roots. So we start with the natural harmonious order of governance and community values and living, and we go through all this socially engineered crap and layers of bullshit and false deceptions and lies, and then you end up all the way back at the tribal governance and community values again at the end of a highly ordered civilization. Now, of course, that might be supplemented with high technology, very advanced universal engines, and all sorts of different crazy alternative technologies. But at the same time, the values of that civilization are maintained and preserved in what would be called a tribal form. And because the values are maintained, and because the spiritual aspects of these civilizations are so ingrained in their technology, there's no separation. Right. There's no what we have here in our world today in our civilization is technology has run amok. There is no accountability. There's no energetic accountability for these things. There's no acknowledgement of the relationship between the creator and the created, which is man and their machines. There is a quantum entanglement link with every single object that has ever come into your existence or touched you or came from you or was created by you or thought about you. You can think about something that exists on this planet and automatically you will be connected to it. People talk about the Akashic records and remote viewing, and these strands of universal energy that are available to everybody to remember. These are some of the mechanisms by which people accomplish these feats, which is, you know, like the Lester T. Hendershot device, which was a universal energy generator that was created in the 1800s by a man named Lester J. Hendershot. And purportedly, according to a number of different news reports, eyewitness accounts, and all sorts of different things, he had this little key that would make the engine run. Well, here's the thing. He could barely get his family to get that engine to run, let alone strangers. They would have mild success. It would turn on for a second. It would turn off. It would sputter a little bit. The lights would come on, then they'd go off. But when he touched that key and when he used that engine and when he used the generator or intended for it to work, it worked every time. Without fail, it didn't turn off. It went as long as you want. It didn't heat up. And, of course, his name's Lester T. Hendershot. You can do your own research. But what I am maintaining is that he had a quantum entanglement that allowed him to operate that device because he was aware and acknowledged the connection between himself and that device. And so now when we go and look at our tribal roots and the topic of our show today, what we can really do is draw a correlation between sound, vibration, and music, right? And the direct state of the physical body or the physical community of physical bodies in relation to that. What I mean by that is a culture who has stayed in touch with their music as a civilization or a tribe or whatever will also be in touch with their core values and they'll be in touch with their technology. And what we have in our modern age and day is that everybody is way out of touch with their technology. Nobody created it. Nobody knows how it works. And of course, there's exceptions, the developers of software and machines and computers and so on and so forth. But even then, those people are just hiring others to do a job. There's no personal involvement other than, oh, I'm getting a paycheck to make this device. Whereas back in the day of inventors and self-funded operators and entrepreneurs, when that was prevalent, these people actually built lasting connections to their devices. And so what I'm saying to you is that it's clear and evident to anybody who's studied or researched indigenous peoples or tribes that they have maintained a clear, positive, and strong connection to their roots of sound and music. And this can even be seen if you want to take a look at hierarchy or structure. In the animal world, you have the alpha males. And by the way, there's more than one alpha male that runs a group. That's a fallacy to say that there's a top alpha male. That's BS. There's a number of them that have proven themselves to such a degree that they don't even try to fight with each other anymore, with exceptions over small, tiny, unique things. But for the most part, they all agree on their hierarchy in the community, and they do their duties and play out their roles as such accordingly. So in the tribal communities, what you have is a direct correlation with skills and achievement and a position in the community. And this is true for most indigenous cultures that you'll find. Of course, you have the elements of wisdom and eldership, and people who have lived long lives are automatically vested with a sort of respect in these areas. They're taken care of very nicely by the community. They're respected. The words are heeded. H-E-E-D-E-D, not heeded, but heeded, as in listened to. And all around, generally, their opinion carries a greater weight than a young buck who's just coming up in the warrior class of the tribe, if you will. Now, one thing that does connect them and unite them, but also stands them apart, is their connection to music, which is why you'll find drumming is so, it's just so prevalent through all these different communities and indigenous cultures. And you'll have purposes for drumming. They could drum to because they want to get rid of an evil energy or an evil spirit that's hanging over the area of their land or something. Or they'll drum to celebrate a wedding, like a typical event, what we would think of as a musical event. Or they'll drum to inaugurate somebody into a new position in the hierarchy of the civilization or the culture. And the lead drum or the rhythm drum or the, you know, the accompaniment drums, these people are playing these roles and have been placed or accepted into these roles based on their achievements in that local area, in that physical body, and in that tribe. Okay, so you have these spiritual roots and these cultural community roots that are tied into the drumming and tied into the sound and tied into the vibration. And this is really what holds the community together. So now when you take a look at our modern communities, which have really gotten away from the tribalism and gone into these other isms, if you will, communism, democracy, socialism, you know, fascism, so on and so forth, whatever model that you see is an imperfect model, because the perfect model that all civilizations sustain themselves from and also start out as is, again, the tribal community model. Okay, so our roots really are the solution for a lot of modern day problems. And if we would just acknowledge the energies and the aspects of life that are tied into those roots, such as music, spirituality, and self-determination, and speaking your mind, and having everybody be heard and notice an opportunity, all these things are tied in. And if you can remember those in a culture, then your culture will prosper. And you'll find a huge drop in the rise of violent crimes or any other type of crime for that matter. In fact, the crime is virtually non-existent in most indigenous tribes. Yes, it does exist. Yes, there are exceptions. And yes, they have punishments. But for the most part, what I've studied about a lot of African tribes, at least in that area, is that they will welcome the transgressor back into their community with open arms. They will show him love and all sorts of acceptance. And of course, you know, he will have to do some sort of penance and things like that to physically work off the account. But at the same time, what you're having is a person who's being not judged and not demonized and not labeled. Whereas today we have privatized prisons, and the U.S. is one of the highest population prison populations in the world. And, you know, rightfully so, because of our laws and all of our Orwellian regulations. But what you'll see there is that these people have no chance of reform, zero to little chance. And in fact, the mass incarceration has absolutely no determinable effect. So little to none or zero effect on the rates of crime in our nation. So locking people up en masse without addressing the root issue is a problem. And I've actually talked about this. I've gotten into a few Facebook arguments over the fact that there really are no isms at the end of the day. There's no hate speech. There's no hate crimes. There's no racism. There's no misogynism. All of these are stupid labels that are played out and beat like a dead horse by people who want to sound and feel important and don't want to acknowledge their own faults inside themselves. So if that's one of you, I would address that right now, and I would suggest that you guys just take a real deep look at yourself and understand that there's a root cause for everything, and the isms and the labeling is the branches of a tree. And if you're always trying to hack the branches of your tree or somebody else's tree, you're never going to be aware of the health or the state of your roots, okay? Now, by going to the roots, you get rid of the problem. So that's on an individual scale. Now, the tribal communities deal with these issues by energetically producing healthy roots. And again, that comes from the connection to morals and values instilled through spiritual experience and through community and through music. Music is the common thread that ties all of us humans together. When you listen to music, when you hear a sound that you like, you're always going to take something of value from that. And in fact, when you hear things that you don't like, if your perception is on point and you're aware enough, you'll be able to take things from that that you don't like. For instance, rap music. I fucking hate rap music. I can't stand it. I love hip hop. I love old school hip hop. I love all the, you know, the good beats, the actual artistry that is involved in what we would call flowing, right? The random or sudden recall of words and patterns and innuendos and all sorts of creative artistic things that are done in the hip hop community. I acknowledge those. But the state of music as it is today, I should say, with rap and all these other things, and trap music and all this stupid crap, is literally poisoning our communities. It's poisoning our families. It is poisoning our children's minds. And so what you have is an integral part of the community, which is sound and music, that's been hijacked and taken over by special interests. And so therefore, they're using these beats and these sounds and these stupid machine gun repeating drum kit loops and all this stupid crap in all of these different songs. And they're getting these unsuspecting people who just want to make a name for themselves and be big to promote war, death, violence, prostitution, pimping, all these different types of things, not caring about people, so on and so forth. And then you wonder why we have the problems in society that we do today, the class and the race division, and so on and so forth. It's because the roots of our society is being poisoned, okay? So again, the people amongst my listeners that are of a more tribal nature will automatically gel with what I'm talking about. And people that are somehow have been duped by this rap and all this other music that's just total bullshit, you might get a little butthurt about what I'm saying. And you know what? Good for you. Maybe it's about time you felt something that wasn't fake and based on fakeness and controlled engineered socioeconomic stuff. So yeah, take a look at yourself and why do you like that stuff? Do you like rap because it makes you feel cool? It makes you feel inclusive? It makes you feel a part of the new trend that everybody seems to be wearing their hat sideways and all these white people talking like black culture? And by the way, all this slang and these Ebonics and everything that all these rappers think is so fucking cool, it was created and started by a group of white men in a secret room somewhere as a way to destroy and destabilize the black race. Because the African-American race is a very highly spiritually rooted and connected race that are bringing powerful changes and have done so for a long time. They're very talented, very capable people. Everybody in every race has their own skills that are predetermined towards that different race, if you will. But we're all part of the same source, and we all have our individual uniqueness to carry with us as well. So in that sense, I acknowledge that there's a difference between races, but in the sense of us being all connected in one, I acknowledge there is no difference. However, in the realms and the physical areas where we are trapped right now, there are groups that are using these so-called fake class divisions and race divisions. They're using them against each other. And one of them is the white race has been using sound and music control and cultural degeneration, for lack of a better term, on the black race and the African American race for centuries now. And one only has to go back and look at the length of democratic control over, or Democratic Party control over, the inner cities and these races to fully understand what's really being done to these people. There are a number of people in the inner cities that are waking up to these facts, and very, very highly evolved souls and people that have been put in some of the nastiest, shittiest situations. And let's face it, places like Chicago, it's a war zone. Places like North Dakota, DAPL, war zone, right? You've got these things showing up all over the place, and these people are popping up here and there. And so what I'm really trying to tell you is that, and we'll circle back to the music thing, if you're listening to rap or listening to negative music and you get some sort of comfort out of it, take a look at who you are uniquely as a person and understand, what do I really need from this? Do I need to identify myself and my values and who I am as a soul energy based upon what I think is cool and what will be accepted? Or should I blaze my own trail and maybe start my own drumming or start my own instrument playing or something like that? So these are things that our listeners really, really need to think about. And of course, you know, Ryan Taylor is a guy who's been drumming his whole life since he was about 4 years old. He's an extremely talented individual. I've had the pleasure and honor of doing numerous gigs with him. He was supposed to be our guest today. He may still break in at some point if he can get his communications issues worked out. think he's having some Skype issues. So if you join this episode today to hear him and hear our guest, I do apologize, but I'm doing the best I can to bring the value that we had planned solo to you guys. And at some point, even with the time constraints that we have, I think I might actually just play some didgeridoo for you guys. Ryan and I had put together something where we were going to play a quick impromptu jam. That doesn't seem like it's going to happen, but I am lucky enough to have some of his clips, okay? So what we're going to do now is go ahead and just play one of his sound bites. Again, this is Ryan Taylor. You can find him on Facebook. I was going to have him plug all of his websites and everything, but we'll put that up in the description at the end of this podcast when it's published on bbsradio.com/piercingtheveil. But for now, what I'm going to do is go ahead and drop in the first clip. This is Ryan Taylor drumming, and I just want you guys to be present and listen to how this makes you feel. Understand what the sounds are doing to your DNA, and then we'll get a little bit into what's actually happening to you. So with no further ado, let's go ahead and play the first clip. I'll have my producer drop this in, and when it's over, I'll give you a few seconds to sort of come back to reality, and we'll go from there. Thank you. Excellent. Okay, so I chose one of those clips that Ryan had provided to me before the show. Unfortunately, he's not here to talk about it, but what I take away from that, and the reason I chose it, is because I wanted a number of different sounds. I didn't just want the djembe. I wanted multiple drum sounds, the shaker, the bell as well. You know, we always need more cowbell. But essentially what's happening here is there's a polyrhythm happening. So there are multiple layers of beats on top of each other. And when this occurs, it triggers certain hormones in certain states of consciousness in the brain. It also directly resonates to the DNA. The DNA emits biophotons. Your DNA is emitting light. You're literally emitting light on every scale of your body. You can talk to these DNA strands. You can communicate with them. You can change the subatomic particles that make them up just based on thought, intent, and sound. The third one being very effective in the physical realm. So that being said, I want you guys to just take a deep breath here and pick out one of the sounds that really, really spoke to you, and just try to remember why that really talked to you, okay, or why that really stood out to you. Maybe you heard the bell more than the drum. Maybe you heard the drum or vice versa with the shaker. Regardless of the case, what's important is to understand that sound carries through and activates our DNA memory. The DNA carries memories from each lifetime. For your genealogy, your actual genealogy, there are encoded memories that are contained within your DNA. And most of those memories involve music. And at any given point throughout your genealogy, even tracing it back to the supposed origins of humanity, if you were able to do that, you would still find that music and drumming existed at that time, or some form of vocalization, some sort of form of sound or music or spirituality was present. Therefore, when you hear drumming or any type of structured sound that's been present throughout tribal communities and throughout humanity for all this time, you should experience some sort of result or some sort of pull, if you will, or for lack of a better term, a call, right? And actually, that's a really specific, accurate term. Because in African tribal drumming, they make calls to each other to let them know where they are in the song or where they are in the set, what beat changes are coming up next, if they're about to change timing, if they're about to do a vocalization along with the drumming at a certain point, the lead drummer will actually call out the vocalization. Do-da-da-da-da-do-da-da. And so you'll hear this boop-ba-ba-ba-ba-boop-ba-ba. And then all of a sudden, the vocalization from the people comes out. So what's happening is these guys are so in touch with their DNA and their memory. They've got these drum patterns that are just ingrained and these sounds that are just ingrained into them based on their DNA memory, which is why you'll find a lot of tribal drummers or tribal people are proficient drummers. It's not because they're black. It's not because they're African American. It's not because they came from Africa. It's because wherever their ancestors were at any given point, whether they were traveling the globe, crossing the Bering Strait, whatever was happening, going throughout Eurasia, it doesn't matter. Wherever those people were at that time and whatever music they were experiencing was encoded in their DNA. And that talent, if they played music, is also encoded in the DNA. Okay? There's just no explaining away natural talent. It exists. It's something that's there. There are a lot of people that want to put everybody up on a pedestal on the same level in the world, and that's just not how the world works. It's not reality. You've got level zero people consciousness. You've got level five people consciousness. You got level five people consciousness who are level zero musical talent, and vice versa. And it's appropriate to think of it sort of as a equalization bar diagram. So if you ever seen the equalizer on a stereo where the bass or the treble goes up, you can see the bar jump up respectively, go up and down and stuff like that. That it lets relate to each other with. What I mean by that is this person has a musical equalization level of five, and their consciousness level is one, right? So bar of life, or their bar of energy, or their soul bar, which represents or comprises their soul, they have these skills that are on certain levels. And another person might have skills that are on completely different levels. And just because one of their skill sets isn't on par with another person, and so a lot of people get offended and say, oh, well, that person's not better than the other one because they're musically talented. Well, you know what? Yes, they are. In that realm, in that zone, outcome, that person is better than the other person. Okay? Let's just be fucking honest. All right? The other person might be better at than the musical person at, you know, talking or whatever the case may be. It just is the nature of our reality. So acknowledging that certain people have a deeper connection to their DNA and have a musical talent that comes from a long list of musicians is something that's important to note. All right? We need to note that and understand in ourselves, am I one of these persons? Because chances are, yes, you are somebody who's musically inclined. It may just have been preconditioned out of you at an early age. You might just be averted to it right now, meaning that's not my interests. But at some point in your life, I guarantee you, you will have an opportunity or a chance to reconnect with that music, with that sound, with that vibration that is just ingrained in your DNA. Okay? So we've talked a little bit about tribal roots, tribal governance, you know, how it started out our civilization, how it will end our civilization, hopefully, right, as opposed to just war. We've gone through the tribal roots, we've gone through how important sound is, we've gone through the hierarchies of sound, so basically in different communities, depending on your skills and achievements in that tribe, they'll put you in a different place in when you do the musical sessions, if you will, in their musical groups. So if you're a wise old man and you've got a lot of experience and a lot of achievements, whether it be in hunting or physical prowess or, again, even music, that whatever you're good at, the community will just naturally or instinctively let you fall or place you in a place that is appropriate for you. So what I'm really doing today is just sort of playing off the cuff by ear because I had an unexpected event where my guest is not here today. But what I'd like to do at this point of the show, after you guys heard this, I want you to identify what is your instrument. Just go online and listen to a saxophone, listen to the piano, listen to, you know, a harmonica, listen to a little shaker, listen to the drums. Go out and find all these instruments. Listen to the didgeridoo. That's one I really highly recommend to you guys. And find what resonates with you. Get that instrument by any means necessary and start playing. Play to yourself, play to your DNA, play for your life goals, play for whatever. Music is a type of voodoo. It's a type of creationism, right? It's something that actually produces results in the physical realm. It heals our cells. It heals the negative vibrations and the discordant, disharmonic structures that are present, like Wi-Fi signals and air, you know, electrosmog pollutions and chemtrails and GMOs. All of these things can be directly affected and reversed by sound. So get on it. Get on it. Go find your instrument. Find out what works for you. Okay? Okay, so we're sounding good now. Sorry, guys. I was doing a little silent check with my producer there on the other line. Sounds good. Basically, what I was running through is go find yourself an instrument. Find something that appeals to you. Find out what resonates with you and start playing it, whether that be to build a community, to build values in your local area, to reconnect with your family because they like music, and then all of a sudden they can get past all the negative stuff that's happened between you guys. Whatever the case may be, play every single day once you found that instrument. Even if it's in your head and you don't have the instrument with you, imagine playing it. And this will constantly keep you healthy. It will keep you vibrant. It will keep you alive, okay? I maintain that if the will and the intent is strong enough, somebody can cure anything through music. Hopefully you've been able to hear me this whole time and get the crux and the generalizations of what I've been saying down. Basically, is find an instrument that resonates with you, start playing it, because it's ingrained in your DNA somewhere, a memory of one of your ancestors playing music or hearing music, and you will definitely advance your life goals faster by using music and sound than just by the lack thereof, okay? And what I was talking about is I was lucky enough to get an Aboriginal shaman to make me, handcraft me, a didgeridoo that's tuned to the heart chakra. I have firsthand knowledge and experience of how effective this instrument is, at least for myself and upon other people. I use it to do Reiki healings through something I call Sound Portal Reiki. And it's something of my own creation, but that's neither here nor there. So essentially what I want to do is I'm going to take my headphones out of the computer. You may hear a rustling or so, and I'm going to play you just a few minutes of some didgeridoo. And then when I'm done, we'll come back and finish up the rest of our show. We'll sort of kind of pick up where we left off, and I'll talk about certain sounds that you can make with your mouth that will totally have you feeling the energy. Okay, so without any further ado, I'm just going to go ahead and do an impromptu playing of the didgeridoo. I might change rhythms, I might just mess around with it, so just bear with me. Hopefully you guys will be able to hear this, and I'm going to grab a drink of water, and I'll start that right now. Okay, back to the headphones. Hopefully you guys were able to catch most of that. Hope it wasn't too overpowering. I have a Mac microphone, just a standard thing I'm using here. So now we'll get back into the power of sound. As you've just noticed, hopefully that came through clearly, you should notice a little bit of a shift in your state of consciousness if you really are in tune with yourself. Even those that aren't will feel some sort of uncomfortableness, which is typically a pattern, a thought pattern, a physical ailment that's actually shifting as a result of the sound and my intention behind it. So if you guys have experienced that, please do me a favor. Go ahead and give me a call. Let me know what you thought. If you're still listening after all these issues on this episode, call 888-429-5471. Go to Station 2 or select Station 2 and just tell them, hey, I want to call into the Piercing the Veil radio show and just give my input or make a comment or ask a question. And so we'll go ahead and leave that open for the rest of the show. I did have to restart my connection, so I'm not really sure of the time. I think we might have another 20, 25 minutes left or less. So if we don't get a caller till then, I'll go ahead and keep going on with what I'm doing here. And that is to discuss the – so we basically played a drum and we a drum track and a didgeridoo improvisation session. And I want the listener to notice, did you feel a call or did you feel a remembrance in your DNA, right? Did you hear something that just – totally spiked you and you just needed to hear more or investigate or something further, okay? So that's number one. Now, the other thing is the otherworldly origins of certain beats and sounds, right? I'm a big, big believer in the fact that this planet has been visited multiple times. It's been claimed by multiple different factions of entities going back millions of years. It was terraformed and animals and life forms from all over the planet were brought here on this planet. Now, of course, there's certain negative entities and factions that I believe have structured the predator-prey relationship, and we talk about that on other shows. But for the most part, I do truly believe that most of the stuff that's on this planet, whether it's plants or animals, didn't naturally evolve here. Yes, there's a lot of stuff that did, but most of the stuff that we take for granted, such as music, culture, science, physics, religion, all of these things came from somewhere else. Of course, there are the indigenous beliefs, which we wouldn't term as religion. That's more of a spirituality theme, if you will. But most of the stuff came from off planet, guys. Let's just be honest. Your DNA, 90% of your junk DNA has been classified as otherworldly by the Genome Project. It's non-terrestrial. It is of non-terrestrial origin. You are made up of star stuff. And the concepts and the constructs of this planet are made up of universal smorgasbord of laws, regulation, music, beats, sounds, so on and so forth, right? And you've got these cultures such as like the Dogon African cultures that basically were able to map the Sirius Dog Star and the Sirius constellations to such a degree that we as modern astronomers hadn't even seen that star. We couldn't even perceive it until we came up with another filter or a lens to scientifically perceive it. Whereas these people have been embedded in their DNA with that knowledge because at some point in their origin, some entity came from another place or faction of entities and was like, hey, this is where we're from. This is where you guys are from or whatever the case may be. Don't forget this. Don't forget your origins. And here's how you can pass this down so it will never be forgotten. Pass it down through monoliths. Pass it down through stone carving, pass it down through oral recitation of history, pass it down through sacred sounds, right? So now you have examples of like the Tibetan sounds, the Tibetan seed syllables, or the Chinese sacred sounds, or the healing sounds. These are all sounds that can be made by a person, and I invite you right now, as you're listening, to make them with me. Even if you're listening way off in the future when this is just a podcast and not a live broadcast, I want you to make these sounds with me. So I'm going to spell them for you first. Some of them are very similar in spelling, but there's different guttural intonations, if you will. Okay. So the first one's pretty simple. A lot of people know this as part of the Om. It's ah, the letter A. And I would perceive this as ah. There's really no coming off of me at the end. There's this ah. It's almost like a is you're just maintaining the single A syllable, okay? And this is why they're called seed syllables. Even doing that just now, I can feel the energy start to rise in my body. It's just something as simple as looking at the letter A, knowing that it's a seed syllable, and then pronouncing it the best way that I can feel it or hear it, right? So I could pronounce ah, whatever, but whatever is resonating with me and how it comes out that feels the most powerful, that's what I'm going to do. Okay, so that's what I just did for that one. The next one is A-H. Ah, like that. You'll notice on that second one there, there's a little more breath. There's a little more out-breath. So those are two different ones. Now, the third one is BAM or BAM, however you want to pronounce it, B-A-M. So we'll do that. BAM. Boom, right? I can feel that going through me right now. And it might sound pretty ridiculous to you guys on the other end of the audio, but here in the moment, in the physical location where I'm at, I can feel this affecting me, okay? Hopefully you guys can too. Now we come to the next one, which is really difficult, but it's D-H-I-H. Duh. Duh. You know, these are different ways of pronouncing these. Again, it might sound pretty silly to you guys, but I don't care. I want you to learn this. I want you to look these up, the Tibetan seed syllables. The next one is brum, B-H-R-U-M, or drum. 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 That one might seem similar in spelling to drum, right? And for good reason, because I can feel this the same similar energy as when the drums start going off in my local vicinity. I can feel this excitement, this entrancement, if you will. And that syllable feels very similar to that. So I'm putting two and two together as we speak on the radio right now as to why, what instrument am I connecting with this sound? Okay. You don't have to do that. It's just something that's happening for me, and I wanted to let you guys know about it in the moment. Now, H-R-I-H. Okay, so we had D-H-I-H. Duh. We had B-H-R-U-M, pronounced druv. And then we have H-R-I-H, which, again, is just like it sounds. Then we have hum, or hung, which is spelled H-U-M, but can be pronounced hung, right? Hum, hum. And then we have yo, which is spelled B-H-Y-O, but can be pronounced J-O. Yo, yo. Okay, so I'll take you right through just one by one, and I'll just go real quickly through them. Ah, ah, bam, di, drum, huh, hung, jo. Ah, ah, bam, di, drum, huh, hung, jo. Okay, so you should be feeling some of those by now, at least I am. Now we'll go to the second sets. Kam, K-A-M, or kam. I pronounce it as kam. Kam, and then we have the K-H-A-M, kyum, kyum. Now here's one that we're all familiar with, although it's spelled in its seed syllable spelling, which is om, O-M. Typically you'll see this A-U-M as well, but I'm going to go om, om. It's something I've had a little bit more practice with, so it doesn't sound as unfamiliar on my tongue. I can get a little bit more diaphragm action with that, okay? So again, in the same way that you might be predispositioned or predetermined towards liking or being proficient with a certain instrument or a certain musical type, you're also going to be predispositioned to liking or being or resonating with a certain syllable, okay? And I don't have the Chinese sounds on with me on hand, but those are very similar. I know one of them is ar, oosh, hi, ho. Ha. There's a lot of H's. He, hoo, ha. Okay. And again, I do not give a fuck how silly this sounds to you guys. I'm hoping that you'll get some sort of value from this and do your own research. If you make these sounds, even I can't hear you. No, none of our listeners can. But if you make these sounds right now, you should be able to feel something. Okay. So we don't have any callers as of yet. I think you guys are just kind of hanging back and enjoying the vibe so far. Or perhaps a lot of people dropped off after we had our issues halfway through with the audio. But regardless, okay, I just wanted to do a quick recap. Talked about tribal roots, origin of civilization, where civilization ends up going towards on a natural scale. We talked about how DNA is connected to the tribal roots. DNA is connected to music, and sound is connected to the hierarchy of these cultures and these indigenous peoples. And the DNA determines, and your skills and levels of achievement determines your position in those cultures, if you will, based on what you're producing. And then, you know, we talk about how the tribe was an original form of community government. It was a community based on mutual respect, spirituality, and musical connection, okay? Sort of a social hierarchy based on natural events, natural skills, okay? We played a little clip from Ryan Taylor, who was supposed to be our guest. He had some Skype and some communication issues that prevented him from being here. However, we did get to play a little bit of his clip. You can find him on Facebook, Ryan Taylor, or Ryan Taylor Drums, I think, something like that. So we played a clip there. We talked about the call of the drums, literally like what you feel when you hear a drum or a certain instrument, okay? And then we have basically the didgeridoo session that I just played, which is sort of just an intro into how this didgeridoo sounds, what it was for. It was something that was crafted for shaman purposes that I obtained from a shaman in the Aboriginal tribes. Now, we also talked about the otherworldly origins of beats and sounds, certain beats that are ingrained into spiritual practice, right? In the African tribes, they drum to spirit. They drum to life. They drum to the creator of the universe. They drum certain patterns and certain calls for certain things, okay? And these calls will actually sound out on the drum, bop, 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 bop. And then that will signify the start of something, a change of a tempo, the end of a session. It can also signify calls, da 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 da, and then somebody sings, da 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 da, oh. da 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 da, something like that, right? So these calls not only reach out to you on a DNA level, but they're ingrained in the beats and the patterns of these cultures and their drums and their music. And I propose and I maintain the theory that a lot of this stuff was taught to them by other races that came from extraterrestrial origins and not of this planet, okay? Or maybe entities that have been on this planet for a long time and were directly involved with the interference in our DNA and so on and so forth. There's a lot of negative and positive factions all throughout the universe. What we see in our today's culture is more or less is represented on an energetic scale, although there's a lot of different rules and things like that, okay? So that's just a quick recap of what we've done this session. And then we wrapped up with talking about Tibetan seed syllables, okay? Things that will, if you can look at the letter, identify with it, and pronounce it the best that you can, these things will grow power in your life. They will actually raise your vibration up very quickly, almost too quickly for some people, okay? So I'm actually getting the inkling to play an actual Reiki healing session for you guys. So if you have any issues, physical ailments, mental or emotional or life blockages, feel free to put them on the proverbial table, and I will feel free to blast them out of existence or send them away to a nice new home, you know, because everything has a consciousness and it wants to survive. So the more you're trying to fight your tendencies or your habits or your sicknesses or your disease or whatever, recognize that it's a consciousness that needs to live, and it wants to live, and it will resist you in the most sneaky ways unless you find or offer it another place to live, okay? So with that intention, place your things and your issues on the table, and I will conclude by doing a Reiki healing session. I'll come back on. We'll end the show, and then next week, this is really important, guys, if you're still listening or you hear this podcast, please call in next week. Call in with your questions, your comments, your concerns, your donations, whatever you want to do, because we're going to be shouting out for all the water protectors and the water warriors and the indigenous tribes and the people at Standing Rock and the surrounding areas regarding the DAPL pipeline, the Dakota Access Keystone Pipeline. Okay, if you aren't keeping apprised with current events, there's been multiple war crimes, multiple escalations, which unfortunately I called. If there's no armed protection or armed standoff or armed revolution within those community protesters, it's an unfortunate event, but we live in a police state. They're likely to get hurt somehow, and that seems to be more and more likely what's going to happen. We've been given a December 5th eviction deadline on some of the northern camps to evacuate that area. And yes, there's lots of veterans groups that are going up there, oh, we're going not armed and blah, blah, blah. I take offense to that, because if you look at what happened with the Bundy standoff, for all the media attention that was given that, if you understand that they were released, all the charges were dismissed, and yes, one guy was killed, but let's be honest, Roy Lefenicum, he was egging the people on. He made a video that same day or the day before saying, you're going to have to shoot me to take my gun, you're going to have to do this, yada, yada, yada. That guy aside and that death aside, the police were very respectful to those guys that at the standoff. There was literally people with guns pointed towards other people with guns. You understand? And the result was there were negotiations. There were sit-down negotiations. They were escorted in and out of the wildlife refuge without being arrested to go and sit down and talk to key influential people, right? And at the end of the day, even though they were arrested, all the charges were dropped. What do you have with North Dakota protesters? You got hundreds of people being arrested in any given week. You got hundreds of people being injured, hundreds of people being tortured and sprayed with water in freezing temperatures. You got people having their arms blown off with concussion grenades. You got reporters being targeted and actually hit with rubber bullets in the head, all sorts of things, right? And it's because these people are taking a stand, but they're doing it the wrong way based on where we're at on our planet, okay? Yeah, this stuff worked back in the days of Gandhi. This nonviolent stuff worked. You can be nonviolent without firing a shot, okay? So myself, my personal opinion is they should be armed. They should have been armed to the teeth from the beginning, and it's unfortunate that they weren't. It's unfortunate that the tribal elders, who again were just doing what they wanted, they felt was best for the tribe, instructed all these people not to come armed. Instead, I suggest they should have, okay? There's a lot of things we could all do differently. But I suggest they should have come up with some sort of committee and formed a committee for safe access to the protest where people were screened and their intentions were clear and they could carry weapons and literally point these weapons back at the people pointing weapons at you. Okay? I'm not advocating violence. I'm not advocating killing police officers. But what I'm saying is that these guys are definitely going to think twice about pulling the trigger if they know that somebody's got a finger on the trigger on the other side. Okay? So that being said, next week's show will be dedicated towards how we can support these people in their last stand, being as it is, the situation as it is, them facing their pending deadlines, and basically the pipeline's 95% completed, okay? So we're going to have a local DFW powerhouse, Daisy Winsong, and her Winsong movement. We're going to have her as a special guest next week. I promise we'll get everything screened. She'll be on there. And during that time, we're going to use what's going to happen, where we can go looking forward in the future, how we can continue to bring awareness. And then, of course, you guys can call in with your individual ideas, comments, and questions for support. So that long diatribe was to wrap up basically how I feel about the No DAPL protest right now, what's really going on with them right now, and how you guys can help, and what we're doing next week, which is we're talking about this with a few people that have been there and have people that are going back and forth and providing support efforts. Okay? So again, that's next week, Sunday, December 4th, I believe, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We'll be talking about the DAPL pipeline, the No DAPL protests, if you will, and Daisy Winsong will be there. Okay, so 888-429-5471, station 2, call into that number at that time next week. And with no further ado, I'm going to pull my headphones out, I'm going to give you guys a Reiki healing with my didgeridoo, and then I will come back on and close the show, and we'll go from there. Back with the headphones here. We're going to go ahead and close out today's show. I really hope you enjoyed it. Again, I do apologize for all the mishaps, the breaking off halfway through with the communication issues. Obviously, the guest that was supposed to be here wasn't able to make it, but we'll get them on at a later time. And again, our next week's show is going to be really exciting. We'll have a confirmed guest there who's Daisy Winsong, Winsong Movement. I really hope you guys have enjoyed it today. I love you all. Remember to look within, and we'll see you next week. Thank you very much.